January 31st, 2017, it's Watch from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show in Pedro, but now with Brother Matt. He's indisposed with his teaching obligations, but I'm not in total man alone mode because I got with me from parts north of Pedro here, Flying Hair. Welcome aboard.
Thank you for having us.
We started the show off with I'm a Dreamer, Aren't We All, John Coltrane, and then from Flying Hair, Babies Crying off their not only cassette now, but also vinyl debut release. You guys want to introduce from Port Starboard?
I'm Bobby. I play bass in Flying Hair.
I'm Kurt. I play guitar in Flying Hair.
I'm Brian. I play keyboards.
Matthew, play drums.
Okay. And my main connect at first was Matthew because he, we've had a guest many times on the show, Heather Lockie, was a roommate for a while, until like last year or something.
6 years or so.
6 years, yep. All right. Yeah. And turned me on, and I got this cassette in the mail because you said in the letter something about, you know, Heather. And I've always, you know, I played on a listening ship album.
Yes, you told me that.
The circumstance?
Mm-hmm.
They come to Prac and the bass man had sold all the shit for shit.
Yeah.
I mean, how long do you think you were going to get away with that? I mean, that's how bad being junked out is. You know, like, you're not seeing further.
Yeah.
Man, can you believe that? So they went and came to down to Pedro and taught me the tunes, and I went up there, and I'm a bass man for Listed Man shit, which was quite an experience because that was a kind of a music I wasn't so used to. And they were very kind of Lyman.
Mm-hmm.
They were like Captain Cold. And then a sister.
Sean.
And then a guitar man and a lot of cool people in that band. So that's my connects with that. But let's talk about you guys as 33 music individually. Bobby?
What's your
earliest musical memory in your mind?
My earliest musical memory in my mind. Well, my earliest memory was going through my dad's record collection and
how old?
Well, I was probably about 5, yeah. Maybe.
Okay.
And I grabbed the headphones, and I put them on, and I remember asking my mom what these were for, and she came over and she put a record on for me. So I sat there and
do you remember what record?
It was a Frank Sinatra album, yeah. Of all things.
She probably liked
it. Yeah, her and my dad would listen to Frank Sinatra.
And even in Miles' book, he said a lot of trumpet.
Yeah.
He had a lot of influence.
My dad was a disc jockey when he was younger.
Oh, really? So you had music big time in the
big
house.
Time, yeah. And he kind of grew up with Elvis and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So anyways, I remember just sitting there and staring at the speakers and watching them, you know, kind of pump in and out.
Overlight.
And, you know, it just kind of tripped me out that you could be listening.
Oh, because you got the headphones
on,
but you're watching.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it was...
It cancels out. When you put in the headphone, it turns the speakers off.
Yeah. I think what it was going on is I was flipping the... You know what I mean? So I'd hear it, and I'd go in and out, and...
So the flipping cows are tripping.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm like, I take them off, you know. So I'm listening to this thing, and that was my first sort of interaction with music.
Was there anybody in the pad playing instruments? Ma or your pop?
No,
or your mother's
sisters? Well, we go over to my grandmother's house, and my grandfather, he would always smoke a pipe and play a fiddle, and my grandmother
He's a violin player.
Piano?
So you did have music in the family?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, same sort of thing, records. My parents had a lot of records around. I remember my parents used to take us. I grew up in a small town in Michigan, and they used to take us to these country music shows at the Civic Center. And,
yeah. So it was a concert?
It was a concert, yeah. And it was just...
Remember who it was?
It was a lot of no-name acts. Like, the local sheriff's department them on, and everyone was, like, fold-out chairs. It was a very old-school sort of thing.
But
and
big impression?
Big impression. Huge impression, yeah. It was exciting to see, like, all those people, you know.
Doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, I always remember, like, you know.
Well, first music memory.
Yeah, first music memory. Yeah, I mean, one of the like things I sort of always remember is like being in the garage with my dad working on cars, and just like the Beach Boys were on. You know,
so what? These guys' records or radio?
Radio. You know what I mean? Just listen to radio all day.
In the garage.
Still to this day, if I work in my car, I fix stuff. Like sometimes that stuff is like it just puts me there and puts me in the zone to be doing that. You know, I remember that. First, like one of the musical memories that got me into being a musician. Was like in grade school, I was in class, and I remember like the new band teacher was going around, and he was like, "I don't know what this instrument is, but I could make it sound like an elephant," and it was a French horn, and he did that, and I was like, "I love elephants," and I was like, so I started like when I was like 10, 11 playing.
So you had music in school though.
Yeah, music in school.
That's happening because you know they've cut that out of a lot of fucking schools.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah,
Martin Wong just did a benefit for his girl in Chinatown at Castellar. Yeah. Just to get music in the school.
It's crazy.
That's why Flea got that conservatory going. Yeah. And went back to Fairfax High. Yeah. And there was no music program.
Yeah.
So crazy.
I mean, I don't know. You know, so many things happened after that, of course. But, like, it's, I mean, the thoughts and the process and the teamwork and the knowledge just gained by the experience of all the people in the band. Just doing those things, I don't
Did you end up on the French horn?
Yeah, I did French horn.
You know, bass man on French horn?
What do you mean? Who?
Famous one.
No, I don't.
John Antwis. If you know the song Pictures of Lily, that French horn solo is him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
not
right.
Not to date myself.
Yeah, but do understand.
Matt.
Yeah, my first memory is probably...
Or your oldest, because how do we know, you know, when we get old? We got rid of the old word. When we get less younger, maybe some of them memories. So which memory do you still have?
Yeah, that's
right. I know from my own experience, shit gets plowed. You know.
I can remember back to my parents had an old sedan, like late 70s.
Oh, so car radio.
Yeah, but it was an 8-track player.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What? 8-track?
Well, they had a bunch of the sort of compilations.
Let's talk about you getting onto the instrument. When did you first get on the drum?
Fourth grade in school, playing drums, like concert band.
Ah, okay. The one guy.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they'd have a couple guys standing behind the chair. Yeah.
But it was honestly pretty boring in the beginning because... You sit there, you count, like, maybe 30 measures, and then you crash cymbals, which is like...
But was there other dudes waiting?
Oh, yeah, there's, like, snare, and then there's somebody playing the big concert.
No, they're not even playing, just waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have several guys. There's the first... Yeah. Now, it happened to me in the seventh grade, you got to do these things called electives, so I picked music. Mm-hmm. Of course, me and 30 other guys wanted sax, so they gave me a clarinet.
Right.
After 10 weeks, his name was Mr. Luna. In fact, I went back to his junior high for career day a couple months ago, my sister... Like 45, 46 years later.
That's amazing.
No more shop classes. And they don't use the lockers. Shit's. And in those days, girls' pants one day a month. I told them that they were cracking up. But anyway, Mr. Luna says, Mr. Watt, you try hard, but. So I never tried music at school. I play with deep. But that's interesting. So you come through the class. No, Larry Mullins, the last 2 years of Stooges, there's nothing wrong with that. And everybody comes from somewhere in. He got bummed out when they didn't want him to play gigs and wanted him to be another teacher.
Right.
In college, way down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he got bummed out. Huh. So you started in the club. How did you get on your instrument? Did you know any drummers before then?
Not really, but I was always drawn to it. Like people give me toy drums, plastic stuff, maracas.
Did you
whatever.
Do the pots and pans thing?
I was always into it, man, yeah.
Because Elwood Jones talks about that, yeah.
Well, I made my own, when I was like 13, I decided to learn drum set, and I built my own drum kit out of junk, like suitcase, bass drum.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I had that was legit was a pedal, because you couldn't fake that, and then everything else is just fake, and it's super fun to learn.
The keyboard.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it's been about like 16, 17, after playing French horn 5-6 years, I realized I really can't get chicks or go to shows and do that type of stuff. So I started picking up bass, really, you know what I mean? Playing bass, actually, for a long time.
You know about the mouthpiece with French horns, though, right? Compared to the other stuff.
Yeah.
Especially in the marching band, I heard, because the thing's a little motherfucker. I heard the bone was good for marching because it's about this big around. Tuba, sousaphone, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, that motherfucker's wrapped around me.
Dude, it actually has the largest range of any instrument.
More than cello?
More than cello.
Because cello's pretty big ass.
Yeah, but if
think about cello the way you got to play it again. How are you going to get girls with something between your legs?
No,
sitting down.
Yeah, no way.
So you thought keyboard.
Yeah, so a bass.
So you already knew how to, you didn't sight read an instrument.
Oh, yeah, I know how to read.
So you know the fundamentals.
So yeah, I would do that. And it was kind of weird, you know, but a bass, you know, so I started doing that. But just a little bit in school, really outside of school. And then, like, really, it was just there. It just took off. Like, I started building guitar pedals, and I started fixing that stuff and messing around with that stuff. And then
so
I
you're in the electronic world.
Yeah, I got all the electronics, and I was like, oh, synthesizers, these are crazy drum machines. Let's build a recording studio. Blah, blah. You know, like, that's all I did in Chicago for like 7-8 years with a shop.
Because there was a real problem in the earlier 70s. Keyboards cost buku.
Buku.
Yeah. You could go to a pawn shop and get a $15 Melody Plus or Tesco, not a Fender or a Gibson.
Yeah.
But you couldn't do that with the keyboard. There just was no...
They were so expensive.
Yeah. I mean, even the little squeaky organs. There was no Casios yet in that stuff.
Yeah. No.
I remember the Univox had an electric thing
that did
harpsichord. But that was the first one, and that was like $400 for those days. You get a Volkswagen Bug for $300, okay?
Yeah.
Just to show you. So me and Lee Boone, you know, because we always wanted to be with the organ player after hearing Sister Ray.
Yeah.
And... Plays. He's got that because we're from the Proj. After Nate, how's that? I went to the Proj. What about the guitar?
Well, my grandma actually had a Wurlitzer organ when I was really
young.
In her house.
And you had a lady across the street there?
Until
she passed away every night, jamming on
her organ. That was my first introduction to music, so I would just sit there and play it when I'd go over to their house. And then.
And how'd you do it? Just you?
I would just kind of mess around. No lessons, nothing. Yeah. And then in middle school, I was in band. I played trombone, and then I took bass lessons, and then I'm self-taught guitar. I just kind of based it off of bass.
Did you have a friend or something? Was there a guitar and pad?
I ended up buying my bass guitar, and then my brother gave me his guitar because he actually...
He was a player,
yeah.
So you did have music in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
I started with trumpet in middle school.
So you guys all played music in school.
Yeah.
Richard.
Yeah, and...
I think that you're the first band every dude had that experience, common experience.
I don't even know that about you guys either.
That's why you're on the show.
Yeah.
To learn to get to know each other.
So you start as a trumpet
player. Started as trumpet, and I did that first.
I was talking to the guy, Mark from Mars, that having No Wave band.
Yeah.
He said he started on trumpet last week. He's living in Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, you know, you get introduced as a kid to these instruments, and I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, like me with clarinet.
I was like, what is it, you know, this doesn't sound like the music that we're playing, doesn't sound like the music I'm listening to on the radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, there's no marker for me. So I'm trying to learn how to, you know, play this thing, and I thought the music we were doing was really boring. I hated it, really. And the teacher was very inspiring, you know. And looking back on it, I realized that how important that is. If you're going to have a teacher, they've got to, like, have some energetic.
Yes, of course.
There needs to be energy.
There's a skill to it.
You know what I mean?
You got to sell it like they say in wrestling.
Yeah.
And sell that move.
You got it, you know. And it's not like
sell that riff. Sell that jam.
Yeah, you got you really, and you need it too, you know, to learn. You know, I think the teacher student relationship is really important no matter what scenario you're in. You know,
absolutely.
So we weren't being no one was playing us Miles Davis or you know this is what you could sound like. We're just listening, you know. John B. Souza or whoever that, you know?
Yeah, I remember him. You know? He was big on marches.
so anyways, yeah, that's how
I
got
those trumpets, I think he used the C trumpets. They're the big motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to play here LSD Dracula.
Thank you. Now you stand firm there, toy. Allow me to elucidate the vast parabola of my surmountings by rematriculating to the Overlord with a dignicator that illuminates any situation below one's misunderstanding, if you duly reciprocate me, as already oralized with the cleansifying palaver of most ingenuous temerity and unmulsification, what we have hereby notarated reclaims not only several ten multimus situations requiring a virtue of mind, but also and therefore a diversification of meritonous expatiation. That is, an oddly meant journey fulminating from the declamatous outbursts of an extractious thought process that is decriminalizing the very air holes in favor of colorable word geometries duly suticated from lank miserly vapors. What these brief allocations intend to relucidate to the gullibus reader declendifies nothing short of mesopotamus belliferi and sound art. This declendified bandrollery of words, musculated by quaint paraclinthesis, extrapolates decentrally into serendipitous coom by dank robbery of one's whim.
Yes. Indeed.
Therefore, and whereby, your relightment of pre-shortened verbalizations was detrimentified even before a recollection of my humanity towards joculation by various and sundry whatnots. That is plainly the vagalist appearance for any misunderstatement in light of hilaritous preclusifying one's natural verbalisms. Never mind the generalized directness on every lack of usurpery for reclassificators or dulled awareness that any notion was reciprocating the comedical intendifiers of what was typed or uttered between us. Thereby, and ipsum fatso, any such bearings of factitude do hereby electrified with the utmost post hasteness to speedemifying every flop of this declaratization. You have been duly apprised, enlightened, and warned, Squire. Good day.
Thank you. Your hands are tied. I'd rather dance, I'd rather run. I clean my teeth with fresh fantasies. Please don't deny it. No need to become, or you too can. Life is a spring. Back to the house, where we'll become. You said we got a mastery. And that's done. Your arms are tied up. I'd rather dance, I'd rather run. I'd clean my teeth with fresh fantasies. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Watch for Pedro Show. Okay, we heard that was D. Dracula, Flying Hair, off their debut cassette, now vinyl. Chris Kroger out of Austin with his poem Declaratization Toy. Out of Belgium, Billions of Comrades with Ron Date. They probably say Ron Data. Negative Scanner out of Chicago with Would You Rather? But no question mark. You know, that's funny about it. You're going to the store. You're going to the store? It's all in the inflection of the voice.
Yeah.
Right? That's what that little symbol at the end is for. I mean, completely, yeah. And Las Víctimas Civiles out of Valencia, Spain, El Vallo. And very be careful, some, what they call it, Vallenato, Colombia guys here, the brothers, Guzman brothers, I got to play with them last year. Perde las Abacas, Cumbia, and La India live. Accordion. What fucking happened? The stand up. No, he does the stand up and through a SVT.
Wow.
And don't feedback. Cool. I don't know how the fuck he does it. And finally, Light, brand new album. Cubic, I think the album. And Else. That's a trippy title. How'd y'all meet? How did the Flying Hair come together?
We both used to live in New York, and we met through.
So nobody's original SoCal, like what?
No,
Virginia.
No,
you're the only one.
You're the only one. Yeah.
Kurt and I met each other in the early 2000s in New York, and then we kind of got our friendship renewed. Maybe
were you playing in New York?
No.
Just through friends.
Through friends.
But you start playing here.
Yes. Start playing here, yeah. I was drumming in another band, and...
Ah, so you learned drums, too.
Yeah, okay. I played drums in another band.
Trumpet, bass, drums, singing.
Yeah.
You wonder, do the whole one-man band.
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
So we met each other, we started playing, and then, I was thinking, man, you know, it'd be fun to get on bass. You know, I used to play bass in my first high school band.
But then we'll need a drummer.
And Matthew and I knew each other for a while. And
we're out of New York? From here.
And Matthew and I had jammed a few times, and so I asked if, I was like, hey, man, do you want to come down? And he was like, yeah, sure. And so the three of us just jammed out. And
so that's the stuff I've seen on YouTube.com with the trio.
It started as a trio.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but I've seen some things.
Okay. So it started as a trio.
And then the idea of Flying Hair?
Flying Hair, maybe Matthew should explain that. That was sort of the Matthews, you know.
Well, we were looking for a name, and actually the band that Bob used to play in was Zigzags.
Oh, wow, I met one of them cats.
Yeah.
So
he came to a gig of mine, maybe in... the desert. Does he live out there?
No, he lives up in L.A.
Okay, this was in Joshua Tree, a pioneer town.
Okay.
He gave me some of his music. Zigzag's a taller guy, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bobby was...
Wow, small world.
Bobby was drums and Zigzag's. This dude, Patrick, was playing bass. And after all the gigs, I'd be like, Patrick, that was amazing, because he would jump around the stage, and he had long red hair, and it would be flying everywhere, and I'd be like... I love the Flying Hair. I would say that to him after every gig. And then we were like looking for a name for the band, and then we floated that one around and it kind of
stuck. Good, because I thought you said he blew it by getting one of them Mark Knopfler lover boy headbands.
No. I was always trying to convince you to get one.
January 31st, 2017, Dishwap Feeder Show special guest, Flying Hair. Hold tight for our two. January 31st, 2017, it's the second hour. Why from Pedro Show.
I can listen back. I can listen loud. wonder what the clock keeper's keeping. Keeping, 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 keeping.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. We got some accompaniment here with the Pedro ambient. Yeah. So that was an off air topic we don't really need to get into. But we did start off the second hour with Tiny Little Man. What's that about?
Well, Tiny Little Man, I don't know, man. I mean, that gets into why maybe I, like, write these lyrics that I do, and I don't really know. I don't ever ask myself that question. But that was just a song that just sort of came out of my head, sprouted out of my head.
Was it the original title?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking maybe Tiny Little Hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's definitely part of, that's one of the lyrics, Tiny Little Hand.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Mention.
Yeah.
No, about words, I remember me and D-Boom thought they were like lead guitar when we were boys.
Yeah.
Blue Oyster Cult, T-Rex, what the fuck those guys sing?
Yeah.
And even Creedence, very northwest bayou. Yeah,
exactly.
Very northwest, like El Sereno or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Titpui, that Hungarian band. I think it's an acronym anyway. Black Hole, Bright Hall. Space out of Liverpool with the gorgeous chaos, and finally Dex Romweber. We were talking about two pieces, huh? Mm-hmm. More Room in the Boat. Yeah. But he's the guy who first did. I remember he had a drummer man named Crow. He got up there with guitar, and this is early 80s.
Wow.
But this is a solo thing, and Night Tide. Great cat, great, what do you call it? Got to share a bill with him, and I think it was Raleigh. King Richard, right? Richard Petty. Do you remember NASCAR?
Yeah.
Anyway, Dex Romweber. Going to have him on the show.
Oh, yeah?
Just
cool.
Made another record.
Wow.
Yeah. Back to the flying hair. So you guys are trio, you start doing some gigs.
Yeah.
When does...
Yeah, I went to some of your... Well, we met through the owner of the company that I got, too. Like, you went... You did yoga with Kabira,
yeah.
And then you knew Arpin, who grew up in Southside Chicago near me, and then just two separate occasions to meet both of you, hear about the show, go to the show, love the music.
But he was also fixing our amps.
Yeah, I was also fixing our amps.
High as the pedal.
Yeah, fixing your stuff, and we're just like hanging out, and you guys are just like, you should play, and I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, I've only like played keyboards for fun, right, you know what I mean, I never really like played full time in a band on it, and just ended up, you guys just kept saying, let's jam.
Do you remember the first gig you did with him?
Oh, fuck, what was the first gig? I mean, really, oh shit.
Remember we played All Star Lanes?
Yeah.
Rolling Out?
Yeah, that might have been the first one. Yeah, that might have been the first one, All Star Lanes. And that was that we did All Star Lanes, and we did a couple gigs, and we were like going on fucking tour. Like, it was to Ensenada.
No, I should ask, what about the first flying, when you were a trio, what's the first flying hair gig like?
It was at the Echo Country Outpost, which is now defunct.
Yeah.
What was that?
It was a really cool DIY space right on Glendale. Like
Echo Park?
Yeah.
But what was the gig like that night?
It was cool.
It was good.
We played with Dope Body, the band from Baltimore.
And Smelly Tongues.
Yeah.
But it's the first time you bring it to the people.
Yeah,
did you practice a lot of time?
Yeah, we did it like a handful of times, you know. And we had three songs,
but they're all really long songs. So we probably played for like 20 minutes. The opposite of what you guys were doing back in the day with the 1 minute.
No, we were doing 20 minutes, but it was like 60 songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was good.
Opening for Black Flag, those were really short gigs. Yeah, they're not that long, but there's... They're little tunes. It's Wire's idea. We didn't invent it, but... So I was just wondering because the first gig, you know,
it was good.
For us a total pants shitter.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I think we had a lot of people come out and stuff to support, which was real nice, you know. And
ahead of time.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
it's trippy.
It was good, you know, and so they came
out.
You
didn't have to like voice then.
No, not really. I mean, we just invited our friends, so we knew they'd come, you know, and then.
So what's that difference between that first trio gig and then first quartet gig?
I don't know.
How much time was there in between?
6 months or something?
6 months?
Yeah, six months. Yeah.
And we had jammed with a couple other friends on...
Yeah, because I've seen another guitar.
Yeah.
That's Patrick, that's the guy, the namesake of the band.
That's the guy from Zigzags.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, he joined as a guest or was he a band member?
Guest.
Guest.
Well, I mean, we keep it pretty loose because we would... Even like once Brian...
Oh, you mean
band,
Shelly Cubs.
Yeah.
We would play trio gigs sometimes or like... you know, now it's
depending on how big the stage is.
Yeah, depending on what we have going on. Or,
and if
like,
he has time.
Yeah.
He has time.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But now it's pretty solidified as the four piece. And yeah. Like, I mean, even still, Patrick would play a gig with us probably if we asked him. And he just recorded our record and mixed it. The new record is coming out.
Oh, yeah, new record. Okay. Yeah. What about this song, Pills, we're going to play?
That was the very first song that we ever wrote. And
there was a Sex Pistols song called Pills, right?
Yeah.
But I think they're making fun of New York Dolls.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody knows Japan is a dish band, which is actually a line from it's even a title, I think, from the Cat and Beef.
I mean, it was just the first jam that we ever wrote.
And oh, it is?
Yeah, we were kind of jamming and messing around, and it just
were you eating them?
What's that?
Were you eating them at the time?
Let's
listen to it.
Thank you. Thank you. どうしてこんな終わり方でいいのか。ごめんなさい。ちょっと人が来て終わります。こんなんでしょうかな。やばいな。
Ho pensato a un incredibile, questo è il menù del cazzo. Io sono un maniaco sessuale. Voi mi state citando su un funerale.
Swat from Pedro Show. We heard Pills, Flying Hair. Then Sawako Live, a practicing piano at Gift Lab Garage. From Japan, of course. From Italy, Manlio Maresca, Emmanuel for Errors with Speedball. It's funny to call like some jazz workout Speedball. Brother Steve McKay did the same thing. So whenever I hear that word, I'm thinking, you know, going to think Lee Ving for getting us finally into the whiskey because we are violent SST men. And to get the torch there, John Belushi. And the yeah. Okay. Well, you're busy now. Sorry. Maximilian first out of Italy, too, with Amara Lista. Babes, New York City with Baby No More. And finally, Storm Shadow with Saint Center. We're talking about a new album.
Yeah.
And Patrick's recorded. Where's the studio?
We record it in our practice space.
He brings the stuff in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we set everything up in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And where's that? What part of town?
Boyle
right,
Heights.
In Boyle Heights, right down.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
There used to be some Vex in the old days, okay, early 80s. There was three different Vexes. Joe Vex. We had gigs in East LA.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, there's a big, Nervous Gender, the Stains. There was Plugs, the Brat. Yeah. There actually was a Latin part of the old punk scene. That's interesting. So in Boyle Heights, you got a prac band.
Yeah.
You don't have to rent out the studio. He brings it in there. That's what's so great about these days. How people talk about these bad new days, but that's a big advantage of over the old.
Yeah, I mean, price, and too, you just about synthesizers were so pricey and things like that. It's like you can find used gear for $20 that does
nothing
stuff
like
that. It's great. And but you got, but me and Patrick, all of us kind of had a little bit of stuff, and we were lucky that it was it's in the back of this brewery. Our friends have a front of the brewery, so we were able to put the drums in the room that we built in the back, and then put all the amps out in the brewery with all the kegs and stuff. And so we could keep pretty isolated.
It
sounded great, it instantly sounded great in those
rooms. What about the process? Obviously, it's different than that cassette. As far as getting the tunage together.
Oh, yeah.
You probably brought in some tunes from the gigs.
Oh, yeah.
But then probably some writing new stuff,
yeah,
right?
We wrote some.
And what's that like? I mean, you got it all ready before Patrick came in, right?
Yeah.
Well, the old days, dudes used to write records. And you could always tell, too, the second, third. Only the first album sounded like they played gigs. All the rest you could tell were written in the studio.
Right. Yeah.
Because it'd be all, tight and everything, right? Because they'd be playing gigs with them.
Well, this it was interesting though. We we definitely with the new album, the majority of the songs were stuff that we worked out as drums, bass, and guitar, and we weren't sure how to give guidance necessarily to the keys, to the synth stuff, because I don't play that and I don't know how to necessarily explain it, very clearly, and I don't think anybody else did either. Yeah. So what was cool about our process this time around was that we could lay down the initial tracks, and then we took the time to play around with the synth stuff with Patrick. Patrick and Brian would get together. Patrick also plays synth, and they'd work out ideas, and then they'd, the other beauty of working like this is that we have a lot more time on our hands. That was initially I thought we were going to do this and would be over in a week and we're going to be good to go. And ended up being a year of recording and of
mixing.
Mixing and really working out our ideas. And I think that really helped us understand.
It's just different experience than doing a gig.
Yeah.
Why not go with it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a totally new experience for me too. So I think
can't wait to hear it. How long for it to be read?
Yeah.
Well, we can send you a link now. We have it mastered and good to go, but we're looking to get it put out.
Yeah.
Trying to shop it around a bit.
We're at the end of the second hour, 2017, January 31, last day of the month. Hold tight for hour three. January 31st, 2017, it's the third hour. The Watt from Pedro Show.
Love is all around. night, during the evening, we saw a tornado. We don't know what caused it or nothing. This is June 16th, 1986, and this is the headline news. And last night we had a now back to right. Last night we saw a poltergeist, and everything got in our house. Then my dog woke me up and scared to death. He wanted to come to this. And then we got him. Yeah, there. Bye bye. Now, wait, can I see how it is? I fired a bloody clown. And he's yelling,
Life as a poet gives me full reign and the responsibility to render life's experiences. They say the gifted are afflicted. Schizoaffective disorder is no exception. The path of recovery leads to clear thinking and skills. I document the evidence from the gritty to the glorious. I speak for love and truth. I seek perfection and balance. Medication sets me on a level. It is only up from here. Pass off the suffering and the loss. Regroove and refresh and come to life. Pass this blessing on to others. I can be a guiding light. My skill set to serve humanity. I remember the wonderful artists taken down by mental illness. I push them to the light. I carry the torch again. I pray to be able to serve, writing my track in life. Come see how we can live. Work, eat, play, and love. We are all people too. I humbly say I am gifted, still suffering, but loving life.
For Pedro show, start the third hour off with Tantris, something live from Flying Here. Do you remember the venue?
Is that a trio one?
No, it's four.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which recording you were taking it from.
I'm not sure.
It could be from the Echo or something like that.
It might be the Echo. Was it a big room or was it a small room?
It's hard to tell. Somebody's fucking phone, probably. Yeah. Exactly. But you know what? This one was a little better sound. A lot of those phone ones are like,
yeah.
God, I hate them. I fucking hate them. Yeah, especially being a basement. Nano flask.
Yeah, you might as well have it.
Okay. Then out of Denmark, Black Zulu with Funkadelica. Lonely Heart, Miss Lonely Heart out of up in the Northwest, I think. Seattle or Oregon or Portland or Washington State. Sorry, guys. My memory. It's fractured. A call. And then King Champion Sounds out of Holland. I know that. Last night we saw Poltergeist, and they spell out Poltergeist. Please don't make me. You know, but like man from UNCLE, that kind of thing. And Toxic Mutants out of Cologne, Germany. Surf Machine, Joe Brewer. Madison, Wisconsin. Not too far from Midway.
Yeah, that's good.
Right, Mendota, Monona. It's a town between two fucking lakes. It's all with the Isthmus. Yeah, wintertime, really interesting.
Yeah.
Into the Groove again. And finally, Mute Point with Red Wave. Riverside, I was out there last week all sick, but I made it through the gig, me and the Oregon man, Pizzo. And, Hammond B3, you ever work one of those?
Yeah.
240 fucking pounds.
Those
and it's chopped.
Insane, yeah.
I'll tell you, though, still 90% sound is Leslie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Take the direct out of there. It's all, but the switching is, and then the tone wheels and all that, but still.
That's cool, yeah. But the
a lot of it's hitting that Leslie.
It's supposed to be live, right? You know what I mean? How you can tell the difference between, but the Leslie, because it's moving air. It's changing.
Yeah. But so
face.
Tube amp that's getting hit hard, and then there's two twirler things, people. The high end is spinning around, and then the low end's a speaker, but it's got a drum under it spinning.
Yeah.
So you get this modulation. Torrent. Flying Hair Torrent.
We haven't done a lot. We just did one up the coast.
Yeah.
Basically.
quite a story.
Yeah.
And we played some shows in Mexico the year after that, or the same year.
The same year.
What parts of Mexico?
We played in TJ, and then we played in Ensenada.
Okay,
which
Baja.
Was like yeah. one, of Baja the, tour. One of the best yeah. gigs ever. It's like so
yeah,
fun.
That was pretty amazing.
Ensenada, yeah. there's a Encinitas beach not too far from there, and T. Boone wrote Corona. I felt like Green. It was the 4th of July. We were there in Mexico, and we first time we ever cut our heads bald. We didn't know you're supposed to use clippers. Yeah, in those days, one blade.
Oh my God.
Luckily, I was first, but still, my head looked like a fucking motocross track. Bloody mother. But when you go out into the beach, you got to breathe. So 8 hours in the ocean means your head gets pretty fucking yeah. burned, especially yeah. if you never wore
yeah.
bald head before, and we got burned like pelon rojo, red bald heads. But with the new record coming, you got planned for
oh,
a
yeah.
tour?
We want to get around.
Yeah, man.
And how did you do it? You got
like
a van?
Initially our first, yeah. Yeah, we had a van that Matthew purchased, and it was...
it had some problems.
Yeah, it had some problems. We were... Everything was great. We played, I think, the first or second show, and after that second show... One of the cylinders.
We lost two cylinders.
Lost two cylinders.
So it was an eight cylinder van, and we cruised around for the next six shows or whatever on missing two cylinders.
Hopefully, opposite banks.
yeah, I think.
At least you didn't throw the rods. I've done that where it comes through the fucking case.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were worried
about
it. You
don't cruise around.
Well, we were lucky that Brian was there. He has a thing or two. Yeah. But, yeah.
How'd you look? What, like head gasket leak?
It was kind
rings?
Of. Rings? It was kind of a freak.
Is there black smoke? White smoke?
No smoke.
Yeah. It was crazy.
The valves ended up getting remachined, and then it was.
Are valves sticking? Sometimes they get bent in the guides.
Yeah, I think that's why it went down. Yeah, it was such a hard problem. We were like,
what was it? Ford, Chevy, Dodge,
Chevy,
Chevy.
But
that's a bad luck with him.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that won't go on. That you know that won't.
She got retired, right?
Yeah. We had to let go of that one.
So,
but yeah, for the
but this whole thing, this idea of the new album.
Yeah, that we want to. Yeah, we definitely want to go tour.
Bring it to folks.
Definitely do a nice West Coast tour, and you know.
No, what about the whole land?
The whole thing. Well, we start.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah. Well,
the way I work it is in springtime, counterclockwise, fall time, clockwise.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, well, it goes back to vaudeville. Yeah, you want to get out of the south before it gets too hot. Wait for the north to cool. In the fall time, you want to get out of the north before it's too cold and wait for the south to cool.
Yeah,
for sure.
Summer and winter, you don't really want a tour.
Yeah.
It's too dangerous and too fucking sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this thing called, you guys are all east of the Rockies, so you know it's really not a north-south thing. It's humidity compared to California.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous.
Montreal, very north. You go there in July or August. St. Louis.
Yeah, it's miserable.
It really is. Yeah. It's hard touring.
Yeah.
And, you could take a credit card. Or business card. Go run your back, because we never wore shirts, right? We never had air conditioning, and it'd be like Brill Cream.
Oh, God.
Look, this tune, The Captain, man. I really, to me, this is my favorite tune on the debut. But it's the journey, right? It's the
magnet. Yeah,
right?
It's
the fucking...
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
How'd it come? What's the story behind it?
Bobby brought that in.
I wrote that one on the bass and just wrote the vocals and the lyrics and stuff. And
did you mean it to go on like it did?
It just wasn't supposed to stop until
it's,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
It didn't tell you it was like time until it was time, you know? And I think it was the first full song I wrote on the bass. And then I brought it to the guys, and then it was interesting because, you know, I'm like, here, check out this song, and I didn't realize how long and maybe complicated and how the parts were and all that shit, you know. And so I was just like, I thought, well, they're just gonna get it, and I was amazed because they did.
Yeah,
but you know, it's a weird song.
It's a good sign though. The Captain.
I
just finished.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You took the book, Mike Barnes, Captain Beefheart, in 17 years. Made 12 crazy records and then never played again.
Yeah.
Last 28 years painted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was painted.
The Captain. Let's listen to it.
Let's do it. Thank you.
My dad said that he was God.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, the last music for today's edition, The Captain from Flying Hair. And then out of Barcelona, Murnau B with Sabates. The only better name for this band was Entertainment Law. This one's called Applause Industry. Maybe they should get a feature tour. And with a sandwich with special sauce. And then David Gerard with Underground. And finally, this is a request from Canada, because have you heard of this band Tragically Hip?
No.
The singer Man Cancer. So I'm going to do one more tour.
Well, no way.
Yeah, no way. And so this is killing time. Good people, it's been the January 31st, 2017 edition of Walk Pedro Show with my special guest Flying Hair, but they're going to reprise another visit soon. Keep your powder dry.